Mother's Day to all the mothers. We usually don't know how to respond to that. I don't know to you two as well. Truly, truly grateful for you, and we appreciate you for all that you do. Somebody said, nothing travels faster than the speed of light, with the exception of bad news, you know, which generally follows its own laws. As I start, I just want to acknowledge that it has been a difficult week for many of us. Yeah. Many of you seated, for some members of our staff, for myself, because Pastor Kadu is no longer a part of our staff team. In fact, allow me to just read a statement here. For those of you who do not know, the church leadership wishes to inform you that Pastor Gideon Kadu is no longer a part of our pastoral team with effect from 7th May 2025. We acknowledge the service he rendered to the church and wish him God's blessings in his future endeavors. I know that this is not breaking news to some of you, because when it happened, he communicated it on WhatsApp groups, and some of you were deeply, deeply hurt because you hoped, you know, you could have heard it from the church, and perhaps maybe even an explanation behind it. We had a meeting on Friday evening to bring this up, talk about it, but the meeting was not conclusive. It was also a short time, and perhaps another one was desired, you know, and we have to leave it to the leadership to guide us on that one. So I just wanted to acknowledge that as I begin. And especially for those of you who maybe you do not know this, you know, there's that Bible verse that says, you know, when one part of the body hurts, you know, the entire body hurts along with it, right? And so I'd like to mention that so that, because today we want to, you know, talk about that and how we can move forward. I want to thank you guys for being the body. And you guys have been the body because I have received a lot of calls. And also my members of staff have received a lot of calls and a lot of encouragement, text messages. Guys saying, you know, we are praying with you. And I know that you guys are also doing the same thing, you know, with Kadu. And we want to say thank you. I want to encourage you to continue to do that. Let us continue to be agents of peace. You know, my own personal view as a church is that one aspect of the church, and this is not the only aspect, but one aspect of the church is that we are a family. So I have confidence to come and speak to you here today because you guys are my brothers and my sisters. And which family does not have conflicts? I remember us guys getting married, my wife and I. I remember our first domain, our first conflict just after we had married. It was still in our honeymoon, okay? And we could not agree on whose turn it is to watch the TV. My wife was there in the first service. I wonder whether she's still there in this service. So it was such an intense conflict. I tell you, my friends, I knew the marriage is over. It was that serious. We could not agree whose turn it is to watch the TV. Some guys in our real group know this story, and they usually still laugh at us, you know, when they remember it. It was over. Now we've been married 15 years, and I tell you, we are used to conflict. It is part of our marriage. If anything, God has used it to make us better. Also, it helps that I don't watch TV much. The early church, and the early church was a Holy Ghost-filled church, had its fair share of conflicts. Acts chapter 6, verse 1-7. You know, Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 for me feels like still we're in the introductory, you know, section of the book of Acts. It's too early, you know, after the fire came down, you know, the Holy Spirit. This Holy Ghost-filled church, we read that the Hellenistic Jews were being sidelined by the Hebraic Jews and they were not getting their daily distribution of food. And it was an issue in our church. It was a social justice issue. And you know what? They were able, because of this conflict, to devise a solution that not only addressed the issue, but it actually helped the church to really grow. Out of the solution that they came up with, raised up maybe even new leaders. Philip the evangelist continued to do some really amazing things. You know, Stephen, who became the first martyr for the church. All these people rose up because of this problem. It was a blessing to the church in the end. Acts chapter 15. The growing church gets divided by the circumcision debate. A doctrinal issue was introduced. There were some guys, they were called the Judaizers. They came from Jerusalem. And this was their argument. They said, by the way, there's no way you guys are going to be at peace with God and believers if you do not adopt Jewish customs. And so they were sort of forcing even Gentiles to adopt Jewish customs. It was divisive. It was a great issue. In Antioch, there was tension. Paul and Barnabas had to make their journey to Jerusalem just to have this issue addressed. And you know what? We are glad they had this issue. Because out of it came like the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians actually just addresses this issue. It was the major issue. And some of the freedoms that we enjoy as Christians came about because of this issue. There's some freedoms we enjoy because that was clarified here. Another example is the Corinthians church. Okay, the Corinthians church had many issues. One of them was a moral issue. You know, they had to forcefully expel the immoral brother. You remember that? That was tough for this church to do. And you know what? This church was a proud church. But in the end, Paul, writing to them in 2 Corinthians, says, you guys, I see godly sorrow in you guys. They had become humble because of this. And the tension that arose out of all this, the church grew. Friends, what I'm trying to say is that if you're here and you're disillusioned by the conflict that you see in your church, rest assured that it is not the first, neither will it be the last. For as long as the church has been around, so have the conflicts been. And guess what? Through these conflicts, Christ has continued to grow and to mature his church. Amen? In fact, scripture says this, everything works together for good for them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. He works everything together for good. So we are not afraid. God has not abandoned us. He is here at work even more. So fear not. Is he at work even more? And I've come to learn about this, not just from my life and my own Christian walk, but also reading in the scriptures. I mean, verses like James chapter 1, which says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you go through trials of every kind. Do you know that verse? I tell you it has no relevance to the people of the world. What are you talking about? But we know something about God and this perspective. His ability to bring good even out of trouble. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you go through trials of every kind, for the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you might be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. So we know that God is at work even now, even more. Somebody said that if you find a church that is perfect, don't join it. Because you will ruin it for them. Why? Because you are a sinner. And where there is a sinner, there's bound to be issues, right? You see, friends, the church is made up of sinners because the church recruits from the world. The church then recruits from heaven. Therefore, we know that we are all work in progress. I know that we call ourselves saints, but we are not angels. We are still sinners being sanctified. And this process will end when we finally die and go to heaven. In heaven, I guarantee you there will be no conflicts. Church, you missed a point to say hallelujah. In heaven, there will be no conflicts. In fact, one preacher said, you know, fellowship with saints above, that will be glory. Fellowship with saints here below, well, that's another story. And I'm like, yes. Because we are a work in progress. We are not perfect. The verse that I want us to look at today comes from Matthew chapter 5, from verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 from verse 9. Matthew chapter 5 introduces us to this teaching of Christ called the Beatitudes. And in verse 9, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Let me say that third time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Who are the peacemakers? First, peacemakers are people who they themselves have found peace with God. Peacemakers, if you were to understand peacemakers from a biblical perspective, the kind of peacemakers the Bible talks about, these cannot be people who are still in the flesh. These are people who first and foremost are at peace with God. And this is what Romans chapter 5 verse 1 tells us how we can become at peace with God. Romans chapter 1 verse 5 says, "Therefore we have been justified by faith, and we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." So these are people who has first and foremost given their lives to Christ. They love the Lord. They care about the Lord. They are fully and wholly surrendered to the Lord. And because they are at peace with the Lord, we can say that they also possess the other beatitudes that Christ talks about. You know, they are poor in spirit. Otherwise, you'll never need to go to God. They are meek. They are hungry for righteousness. They are merciful and pure in heart. And why are they called, or they say that they will be called children of God, or some of your translations say, then they will be called sons of God? Because they are like Jesus, the Prince of Peace. They are like Jesus. The Bible tells us that Christ came to make peace between us and the Father. We know it from the gospel that we were living as enemies of God. And God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, while we were still rebels, while we were still enemies, you know, Jesus Christ came and died. He came with this, what 2 Corinthians chapter 5 calls the ministry of reconciliation. And so, peacemakers are called children of God or sons of God because they are like the begotten Son of God, who this was his ministry. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19 to 20 describes it very well about Jesus and this ministry. It says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." They will be called children of God or sons of God because they are like Jesus. And not so the devil. The devil is not like that. The devil is not a peacemaker. He's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And no wonder Paul in 2 Corinthians tells the Corinthians church to work towards reconciliation and forgiveness in order that Satan might not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Satan's scheme, usually to bring division. So peacemakers are called the children of God. What peace are they concerned about? Like Jesus, first they're concerned with the vertical peace or spiritual peace or peace with God. They're committed to the ministry of reconciling people with God. They care about that. They care about people coming to Jesus. They want people to come to Jesus. In fact, if they find that people are walking away from Jesus, it breaks their heart. Because they want people to come to Jesus. So they're concerned about that vertical relationship, that vertical peace, spiritual peace, or peace with God. But they're also concerned about the horizontal peace, or relational peace, or peace with others. Because they know that this is a value for Christ. In fact, in John chapter 17, we see Jesus Christ praying. He was praying for his disciples, and he prayed for those who would believe in him, saying, "Father, I pray that they might be one, just like you and I are one." You remember that? In John chapter 17. Because Jesus Christ cares about our oneness, so they too do care about our oneness. Furthermore, it's the second greatest commandment. You know, you shall love your neighbors yourself. The greatest commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second is love your neighbors yourself. And so they are concerned about this. Relational peace with other people. And I want to say this, that seeking peace is not cheap. Peacemakers know it's not cheap. Cost. Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the chief peacemaker. Oh, it cost him everything to bring peace to us. And that's actually the difference between peacekeepers and peacemakers. Peacekeepers are conflict averse. You know, and they are willing to settle for cheap peace. Husbands in the house, I see those hands. What about peacemakers? They are willing to make sacrifices. They are willing to make hard decisions, even risk conflict to bring about real shalom. Now, I know many of you who have an issue with the leadership handling, this issue that we were talking about, would say that you are peacemakers, you know, not afraid to unsettle the status quo in order to bring about shalom. The church leadership also considers itself a peacemaker, not afraid to confront the issue and settle the status quo to bring about what is right. So how do we move forward? Well, friends, I want you to know that the Bible actually gives us a way, and I want us to turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 from verse 13 to 18. James chapter 3 talks about, you know, the two kinds of wisdom. Two kinds of wisdom that any peacemaker ought to know and remember and live by. Two kinds of wisdom. The first one is the earthly wisdom, and the other one is the wisdom that comes from above. It says this, it says, who is wise and understanding among you? Do you consider yourself to be wise and understanding? He says, let them show it by their good life and by deeds done in humility that come from wisdom. But if you are wise and understanding, an important attribute that you will have is humility. And I was talking about this earlier on when I said peacemakers essentially have the other beatitudes. One of them is meekness. Don't be proud. And then verse 14 talks about this earthly wisdom. It says, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, and I want you to know that the Greek of that word, selfish ambition, was actually used by Aristotle, you know, to denote, you know, partisanship or bias. You know what, you know, politicians would have, you know, being partisan and being biased, just sort of having like a divisive spirit. He says, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your heart, then do not boast about it or deny the truth. He says, verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, it is unspiritual, and it is demonic. In other words, that kind of wisdom is worldly. It's worldly wisdom. It's from the flesh, and it is from the devil. And early on, he remember Peter talking about, we are not unaware of his schemes. He has his own way of doing things. Let us be aware of that. That's the wisdom of the world, of the flesh, and of the devil. In verse 16, he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, or this kind of wisdom, there you will find disorder in every evil practice. There you will find chaos. That's the fruit. That's what comes out of it. But this is the wisdom that the Bible is telling us to embrace. Verse 17, it says, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It's pure. It's pure in its intentions. Then it is peace-loving. It is considerate. That word considerate reminds me of another word, which is thoughtfulness. Thoughtfulness, there was a pastor called J.R. Miller who has an entire sermon on just thoughtfulness and the importance of thoughtfulness in the lives of Christians. This is a little section of it. Thoughtfulness, he says, will seek always to say kindly words, never words that will give pain, but ever those that will give pleasure. He says, we have no right for the sake of saying a bright thing or a clever thing to let loose an arrow, however polished, that will make a loving heart bleed. So this wisdom that comes from above is considerate. So it's thoughtful. It's submissive. It's not patronizing. It's full of mercy and good fruit. And this is something that James was really concerned about, the fruit. You know, James will constantly be talking about faith without action, right? It's full of mercy, and we can see the fruit. It's impartial and sincere. It's without pretense. It doesn't come, you know, pretending to love, but behind it's holding swords and daggers. No, it comes like this. It's sincere. It's open. It says in verse 18, peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. All this time it was talking to peacemakers. This is your strategy. I thought it to be very interesting. Peacemakers, of course they are using peace. Not like peacemakers, sow in peace. Sow in peace, peacemakers, and you will reap a harvest of righteousness. Use this wisdom that comes from above. I wrote down for myself a few applications, you know, on how to be a peacemaker at this time. For some, and I want to share them with you. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. It says, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer. I thought for myself, this is my first thing I need to do. Be joyful in hope. Why? Because Christ is still on the throne. Because this is his church. Because I know that he's at work. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be patient. And then be faithful in prayer. At least there's something I can do. I'm not helpless in this situation. And I'm hoping none of you is feeling helpless. And if you are, I want you to know this is something that you can do. Be faithful in prayer. That's your duty. Pray. Pray for the church. Pray for our unity. Pray for the cadres. Yeah, pray for the leadership. Pray for other conflicts that exist in your life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto the Lord, and the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Friends, we are not helpless. It's something that we can do. This is one of them. It's not the only thing we can do, but we can start here. And we have made a decision amongst ourselves to take some time to fast and pray. We're going to start tomorrow, like Esther, 3 days, just fasting and praying. And we want to open it up to you, those of you who desire to do this along with us. I would encourage you. Let's take some time and fast and pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for healing. Pray for unity. Pray that the Lord will be glorified. Pray for guidance. This fasting will be 6 to 6. And perhaps we'll find an opportunity to meet together, maybe online and pray. But that was the first thing I wrote for myself. Be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer. Here's the second thing. Be thoughtful with your words. Peacemakers are careful about what they say or how they say it. That includes what I write and what I forward. What you write and what you forward. Before saying anything, ask yourself the following. One, is it true? Do not believe everything that you hear. Do not spread gossip. Is it true? Two, is it confidential? Three, is it necessary? Four, is it edifying? Can I say that again? Is it true? Is it confidential? Is it necessary? Is it edifying? I think it just goes with that thing I read earlier on about thoughtfulness. You know what J.R. Miller says? We have no right for the sake of saying a bright thing or a clever thing to let loose an arrow, however polished, that will make a loving heart bleed. Here's number 3. Be gentle, humble, and gracious in your approach as a peacemaker. Be gentle, humble, and gracious in your approach as a peacemaker. Because any other way is counterproductive. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 21 says, gracious words promote instructions. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I tell you, my friends, when I discovered this verse, my marriage changed. Actually, gracious words will achieve more than any other strategy. It says they are healing. They are healing to the bones. Friends, I think we're at a time when we need healing. And can I tell you one of the ways that will get us there? Gracious words. Number four, be an agent of peace. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Make every effort. You know what make every effort is telling us? That this is not necessarily the easiest thing to do. There are other easier things to do. Perhaps to be reckless. Perhaps to act out of your emotion. Make every effort means perhaps you're having to restrain yourself. Perhaps you're having to think things through. You're making effort. It says make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I want to say to us, church, let us keep each other accountable so that we can commit ourselves to displaying the wisdom that comes from above, even as we pursue peace. Yes, we said peacemaking is not easy. It's not cheap. But let's keep each other accountable so that you're using wisdom that comes from above. Let's restrict ourselves only to godly ways of engagement. We have weaker brothers in our midst. Young believers who need modeling of Christian maturity. I've said this is not new. Neither will it be the last. But we can show the world Christian maturity in how we handle this conflict. In fact, it's the end goal of the Christian ministry, is to bring us into maturity. In fact, scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, that's why God gives us pastors, you know, leaders, so that we can equip God's people for works of service until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of all the fullness of Christ. Maturity. And we can use that maturity. We don't need to put it aside. We need to bring it so that we can move forward together. Amen. Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. And I'm praying that it will be said that of us, that we are children of God because we are committed to this peacemaking in a way that brings God glory and honor. Amen. Let us pray. I want to give you a moment to say something to the Lord. Whether a prayer of intercession, a prayer of confession. A prayer for others, for yourself. And then I'll close for us. Dear God, we thank you because even now we know that you love us. We thank you because even now we know that you are the head of the church. Lord, at this very moment we want to remember that the church is your body. The church is called the body of Christ. And when your body, Lord, is hurting, because you are the great physician, Lord, you are able to heal your body. We trust you. We can be joyful in that hope. We thank you because we can be patient in affliction, knowing that when trials come, you say that the testing of our faith, it builds perseverance. When perseverance is finished, its work will be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. That you make us better, sometimes through pain, Indeed, the heat removes the dross and purifies the gold. So we can be patient. Affliction. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us prayer so that we would know we are not helpless. I thank you because you love us so much. And you have said that everything works together for good of them that love me and are called according to my purpose. I'm praying, mighty God, that you would show us the faithfulness of this word by attending to this body, by showing us your way, teaching us your path, guiding us in your truth. I pray, mighty God, that you would help our church to grow and to flourish and to become even better because of the ways in which we have gone through the turbulence or the conflicts, of the pain that have come our way. Help us to know that our captain will lead us still. And help us to lean on you, to lean on your wisdom, to lean on your power, to lean on your sufficient grace, to trust in you with all of our hearts and not on our own understanding. God, glorify yourself now. Glorify yourself, Lord, in this community. I pray for other conflicts that you know are within this body. I pray, mighty God, that you would show yourself faithful. Arise, Lord, and attend to us. And bring glory and honor to your most holy name. We give you all the glory and all the honor. For it is in Jesus' name. Amen.